Thank you, Lord. You're so good, Lord. And tonight we're asking the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name to come and minister the truth of your heart and your mind, your purposes, Lord, your word. Lord, I just speak peace and rest and refreshing to every person here in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we receive your word, Lord, into our hearts and our minds. Lord, we just want to grow close to you. And everybody said amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's look at a couple points about prayer. These are kind of preliminary in our understanding. You know, sometimes people have a wrong understanding about prayer. And I find that many people struggle with prayer. Now, when I got saved in 1982 in Oakland County Children's Village, I got saved because I prayed. I called out to the Lord and he saved me. He answered that first prayer. How many have ever prayed that prayer? You see, you called out to him, you found out he answered that prayer. But it seems to me like the greatest struggle for many Christians is in this very area of prayer. Because the devil knows if he can stop you from praying effectively or cause you to be defeated in your mind about the depths and the reality of where God wants to take you in a relationship with him, then you just won't grow into your full potential. But I got news for you. The devil's defeated, and you're going on to the victory and the growth that God has for you tonight. But number one, let's understand this. God created you for fellowship with him. Fellowship with him. You see, you're not made just to live on this planet and be lonely. God wants to be your friend. God loves you and God loves me. And you've got to get a hold of that great truth in your mind tonight. That because God wants fellowship with you, that means he wants you to learn how to pray. You see? And two, sin separates from God, but Jesus already took our sins on the cross. See, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says that he, God, has made Jesus, his son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I mean, if you're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that means there's no more sin to deal with in your conscience anymore. You're either washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and forgiven of all your sins, or you're not. Do you realize there's only two groups of people on planet Earth today? Those that are saved and those that are not. Those that are in Christ and those that are not. Those that have crossed over by faith into saying yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and those that have not. I have, praise the Lord. And you see, I found out that the truth of God's word, that I've been made righteous, is the strongest foundation that I have in my life, that I can go to my Father anytime I want to say, here I am, Dad. Here I am, Father. I'm calling on you today in Jesus' name. And I can be assured that he's going to welcome me. Why? The sin's already been dealt with at the cross. See, Jesus is, and I've said yes to that. Amen. And see, he bore my sin. I don't have to. Praise the Lord. That's salvation. And four, Jesus, the Son, came to earth and lived as a man to show us how to have a relationship with his Father. Everyone say relationship. Relationship. It's a relationship with the Father, not a religionship. A relationship, see? Amen. You know, Jesus was in constant communion with his Father. He came to bring you that. He came to bring you a relationship with God in peace. Amen. You see, five, relationships grow and require a commitment. Relationships grow and they require commitment. You see, when I met and married my wife, Ingris, I fell in love with a beautiful woman full of the Holy Spirit, loved Jesus, amen, already called to be a missionary, you know. But I'm telling you what, our relationship has grown over the almost 21 years we've been together, amen. You see, but we both had to make a commitment one to another to the relationship, and that was called a covenant, a covenant. You see, if you're saved, if you're a Christian tonight, you're in covenant with God. You see, and you've got to grow now in that covenant relationship with him, you see. And then six, you have to have faith in God to develop a living relationship with the Father. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, because whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You see, I don't just believe that God is. That's the first point. I believe he's going to reward me, praise God. You see, I'm not just praying for the sake of hearing myself make noise. I pray because I want to get something from God. I don't know about you, but I need God in my life. I need his blessings. I need his purposes. I need his plan. I need everything God's got for Nick Bork before I get to heaven. See, once I get to heaven, I probably won't have to pray anymore. I'll just walk up and say, praise the Lord. It's good to see you. Amen. You see, but right now I need him. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so you have to have faith. Seven, listen, this is very important. Preparing your heart to seek God is key to growing your prayer life. I'm going to read that again. Preparing your heart to seek God is key to growing your prayer life. What do I mean by that? Well, turn over on the other side. Don't peek on the inside. Don't lose me here now. But go over right onto the other side right here. Let's look at prepare. In the Hebrew, it means kun. And there's a Strong's number. You can look it up. I'm telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. It says, it means to be firmly established, stable, secure, be enduring, to be fixed, be securely determined, to be directed aright, be fixed aright, be steadfast in a moral sense, to prepare. Be ready, to be prepared, to be arranged, to be settled, set up, accomplished, do, make firm, to fix, make ready. Listen, direct toward a moral sense, to arrange, to order. You've got to come to a place of preparing your life, making God first. You see, and it's got to become so strong that God is first in your life that there's no second doubt in your mind about it. 2 Chronicles 12 and 13 says, King Rehoboam did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Now, he should have known better, shouldn't he? He's a grandchild of King David. I mean, he was a son of Solomon. I mean, he grew up in the church. You see, but even though he knew about God, in his heart, he didn't really submit to God. It didn't really have him as God in his life because he didn't prepare his heart. 2 Chronicles 27 and 6, here's a positive one. Jotham became mighty. Everyone say mighty. Mighty. I mean, how many would like to live in victory in your life? Amen. I mean, here's the key. I mean, he became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. In other words, he got serious about everything he was doing in his life, every area. He laid out before God and said, okay, God, here I am. You see it anyway. I'm not going to try and hide anything from you. It's always a mistake to try and hide something in your life from God because it'll keep you from growing. And God sees it anyway. You see, and then, so if you want to be mighty, learn to prepare your heart and your ways before God. Ezra 7 and 10, one of my favorite verses. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, the Nike 1-1 principle, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. See, he just made up his mind, I'm going to seek God. I know he's the real God. He is the living God, so I'm going to seek him with all my heart. You see, and so that's what I'm talking about when the Bible says that we needed to learn how to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 33, we all know this, but seek, tenth. Oh, thank you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all this stuff that you need in your life will be added to you. Jesus said, that's a pretty good deal. Just seek God and seek to please him by the way you live. And God says, I'm going to take care of all your needs. Praise the Lord. Now that's setting your life in order. That's what I'm talking about here tonight. And that's what the Bible is saying, is that as a Christian, you need to come to the place where you've not only said, Jesus is Lord, you've said, Jesus, take control. Lord, I yield it all to you, every area of my life. That's preparing your heart to seek the Lord. Now, what's the word seek mean? Seek means darash, and it means, listen, to resort to seek with care, to inquire, to require. Listen, frequent a place, to tread. In other words, to beat a path, to tread. That's the meaning here. To consult, inquire of, seek God in prayer and worship, to seek with a demand, require, to investigate, inquire, to ask for, to practice, study, follow, seek with application. In other words, seeking God to please Him, seeking Him to get it right, constantly going back and forth to God. When I was a kid, I went up north to one of my relatives, and between one log cabin and another little house, they had this little path. And I remember I was so little, I couldn't even understand what that was. And I asked my sister Sherry, I said, what is this and how did they do that? She said, this is a path. I said, well, how did it get here? I mean, I was pretty young. You know, she said, well, they walk back and forth and they keep walking back and forth and eventually they make this little dirt path back and forth. That's what God's trying to get you and me to do spiritually. So that we beat a path back and forth to God's house. Beat a path back and forth to His presence. Beat a path until it's worn out and it's straight and there's no mistake about it. That's the path right there, you see. And see, I mean, when there's a well-worn path, how many are deer hunters in here? I used to go hunting all the time. You'd find the deer path. You'd see their tracks going back and forth and you knew, oh, this is a deer run. I just sit right here. Bang, I'm going to get one. Amen. You see? And you've got to learn how to beat a path. Beat a path to God in His presence, you see. And so these two words right here are very important. 1 Chronicles 16 and 11 says, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore, you see. Now, in 2 Chronicles 20 and 33, it says, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not directed their hearts to the God of their fathers. Ooh, wait, what's that mean, preacher? Well, what were the high places? Well, the high places were the places where everyone would go off and worship and offer up their sacrifices under the trees and on the hills in Israel. What was it? Well, it was worshiping God any way they saw fit. And that's the way many are in the church today. We just kind of want to fit God into our life any way He just kind of fits in there and just kind of worship Him the way we see fit, you see. And see, the Lord wants us to worship Him the way He says in His Word. Amen. You see, in spirit and in truth. Now, Luke 22 and 39 talks about Jesus beating a path. He went with them to the Mount of Olives, and as he was accustomed, or as His habit was, or as He used to do with His disciples, they also followed Him. He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. So this was a place, this garden, that Jesus used to go to all the time. And He resorted there. In other words, He beat a path to God's presence, you see. And so that's what you and me need to do like Jesus Christ. Now, James 4, 7, and 8 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And here's the principle I want you to get right now. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Everyone say double-minded. Let's not miss the point here. The point is that James was writing to the church, and he was saying, you know, you've got to get serious with God. You've got to submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I'll never forget the story that I heard from Reinhard Bonnke, famous evangelist. And a lady came up to him after one of his services and said, Reinhard Bonnke, the devil's after me. Pray for me, Brother Bonnke. The devil's tormenting me. And Brother Reinhard Bonnke said that God spoke to him in that moment and said to tell the woman, flies don't land on hot ovens. Flies don't land on hot ovens. He said, woman, God told me to tell you, flies don't land on hot ovens. In other words, get full of the Holy Spirit, get on fire for God, and you're not going to have any trouble with the devil. As a matter of fact, he's going to take off and go the other direction in your life because Christ is living in you in power, and every time he comes across you, you cast him out, praise the Lord, you see? And he moves out of your way, praise the Lord. You see, there's one thing a Christian should not fear, and that's the devil. He's already defeated. Jesus already destroyed his power. And if you'll live a submitted life to the higher authority, Jesus Christ, and then you just resist the devil, the Bible says he's got to flee from you, you see. But you have to come to that place and then draw near to God. You see, if you don't feel God in your life, ask yourself a question, who moved? You know, me or God? You know, most of the time it's us. As a matter of fact, it's all the time us, you see. See, we're the ones that move away from God's presence, you see. He's always there. And he's omnipotent, praise the Lord. Omnipresent, thank you very much. Omniscient, he knows everything. Nothing gets by God. So he's always around. But we just disconnect with him. We temporarily check out, you see. But we've got to draw near to God. And what's the Bible say? He will draw near to us, you see. And so we've got to cleanse our hands. Is there anything that's stopping you? You got your hand in any sin? Repent, man. I mean, so when I'm talking about preparing your heart to seek the Lord, what was the message of John the Baptist? He said, the Bible says John the Baptist was sent before Jesus Christ, and he was sent to prepare a people ready for the Lord. And what was his message? Repent. You see, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, and so you've got, in other words, get ready for Jesus to rule your life. Because he's coming on the scene, you see. And so the Lord is saying to us here, you've got to learn how to put me first. And then you've got to learn how to you've got to seek me. And like it says, seek the Lord, resort to him, inquire of him, tread, beat a path to God's presence, and keep going and seeking God and being diligent in prayer until you've already worn a path out, praise the Lord, into his presence. Amen. You see, now look with me on the inside of here and let's have some fun, praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Now, this circle of prayer in the middle, you see, is you and God. Now, I've got some good news for you. God is not 93 million miles away from you, out beyond the sun somewhere, you see. You see, he's on the throne, but he lives inside me, and I'm in him. And that's a mystery, but all I know is the Bible says it's true. I believe it, and I experience his presence. He's in me right now. So you're in God. So when we're talking about prayer, I don't want you to get the idea that somehow, even though I raise my voice real loud sometimes when I pray, it's more for myself than God. I heard one preacher say, you know, God's not deaf. Well, yeah, but he's not nervous either, praise the Lord. You see, and so sometimes I raise my voice just to, I think, reaffirm and build my faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I pray, and I walk around in a loud voice and pray most of the time. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, but listen, let's look at this verse here together. It says, and you are in him, made full and having come to fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature, and he is the head of all rule and authority. So the Bible says if you're saved in Christ, you're already in God and got the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. So believe that. You see, so in other words, when you're praying, you don't need to like somehow, you know, pray some, you know, desperate prayer that somehow get God's attention out there beyond, you know, the Milky Way. You know, he's out there. You know, God's in you by the Holy Spirit, you see. And we've got to come to that place of that understanding that, I mean, he knows what you're going to say before you even say it. And I don't ask you to explain all that. All I know is that God's with me, praise the Lord. And you've got to come to that place of faith knowing that the presence of God is there. That God is there in power, and you've just got to tap into that, and you're in him. Praise the Lord. In other words, you're in a relationship with him, and you don't have to scream, God! Even though I do that sometimes. Amen. You know, I think I do that more for me than for him, you see. And so let's look at this. The one thing I don't want you to get here tonight, everybody, is I don't want you to take a hold of this and say, oh, great, another legalistic plan that I've got to exercise and beat my brains out every day to measure up to somebody else's standard. Be delivered right now in Jesus' name. Okay, I'm sharing this with you because when I was praying, seeking God for something fresh for Impact Bible Institute, I believe He gave this to me, and it's something that has helped me much as I practiced it myself. There's a lot of different approaches to God. There's the Lord's Prayer. There's the Temple Prayer. There's all kinds of different ways you can learn. There's scriptural praying. How many pray the Word? I pray the Word all the time. You know, there's all kinds of approaches and ways to pray and develop a devotional life with God. This is just one thing that God gave me, so I'm going to share it with you, praise the Lord. And this has been a blessing to me. First thing I do is I worship God when I begin praying. You see, I take time and acknowledge Him and worship God, amen. You see, and I don't wait till I show up at church to worship God. You see, I worship God in my house every day, praise the Lord. You know, and I seek the Lord and worship Him because He's worthy to be worshiped. And the God that we worship is the God of the Old Testament, the same Almighty God Creator. Amen. And He said, don't make any idols. You know, don't bow down to Him. Don't worship Him. Worship Me, God says. Why? Because He's worthy. I mean, He's God Creator. And so we're going to give Him the glory, the worship, the honor, the majesty. You know, just try it. Just try it. You'll like it. You know, I mean, you were made for fellowship with God. Part of that fellowship is worshiping the Lord and loving Him and giving Him praise and worshiping Him. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 100, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. You know, you can't do that in silence. You know, so I begin to sing and praise the Lord. Lord, I thank You. You're so good to me today. And now I'm in my living room. Nobody else is there. God's there. Amen. I mean, praise the Lord. Do you believe it? God's there. And He's wanting to just fellowship with you. So you got to take time and worship the Lord. Offer up my body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And sing and praise the Lord. And then also I wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Well, the Bible says that he that waits upon the Lord will renew his strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. Anybody need your battery recharged going through this life? Well, the Bible says if you'll wait upon the Lord, you'll renew your strength, praise God. What does it mean, though, practically? How do you do this, wait upon the Lord? Well, you need to know what it means to wait upon the Lord. Wait means to bind together, to bind together. And so as you're waiting on the Lord in prayer, and you're calling out to Him, and listen, faith and hope and releasing your faith in God, God's presence comes down and intertwines with your spirit, praise the Lord. And you're strengthened because you're waiting on Him, expecting His presence. That's part of the word, too. Wait, expecting. Yes. Expecting. See, when I pray, I expect God to show up in my living room. I expect God to show up wherever I'm praying. I expect God to come to me and strengthen me and begin to be with me in that place as I pray. Praise the Lord. You see, and then watch. You know, Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. You've got to watch and pray. Do you know the Bible says that we're to watch and pray that we're ready and we're worthy to escape all that will come to pass on this world and stand before the Son of Man? You know, you're supposed to be watching. What does that mean? You're alert spiritually to what's going on around you. You're not asleep spiritually. Oh, by the way, if you've got a problem falling asleep when you pray, walk around and pray. I guarantee you won't fall asleep, praise the Lord. No, it's okay. By the way, sometimes I just happen to sit down when I pray. You know, and I got set free because I don't have to kneel. I don't have to walk around if I don't feel like it. Bless the Lord, my soul. Amen. I mean, why? Because Acts chapter 2 says that the Holy Ghost filled the house, then it filled all of them where they were seated. Praise the Lord. So if God saw fit to fill all them people with the Holy Ghost right where they were seated, well, I can cross my legs Indian style in my lazy boy and pray and pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But you know, God's not stuck up on the form that you're praying. He's really concerned about the attitude of your heart, you see, toward Him. You see, and so I learned to watch in prayer and watch and pray and be ready for His coming. Four weaknesses. Well, you know what? I mean, this is a faith church, and we believe in faith in speaking to mountains. Amen. We believe we've got power and authority in Jesus' name to deal with all kinds of problems and troubles that come. But how many still struggle with weakness as a human being? I do. Praise the Lord. I mean, I know my weaknesses and my limitations. One of my favorite quotes is by Clint Eastwood. Man must know his limitations. Dirty Harry, watch it. You know, you see. Praise the Lord. You know, I've got some limitations. And so as I pray, I bring my weaknesses, you see, to the Lord. And the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong, Joel 3:10. And the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Bible says that out of faith we're made strong, you see, and wax valiant and fight, amen, and put to flight the armies of the aliens. What's that mean, preacher? It means that as you acknowledge your weaknesses, you say, oh God, come and strengthen every weak area in me. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and helps us in our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because, listen, he makes intercession for you according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. Jesus Christ. And so God's got my back. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit prays through me and gives me great and mighty strength. Amen. And then, you know, that Paul thorn in the flesh kind of a deal over there, you know. Well, God, his grace was sufficient, you see. And so you've got to find the place of God's power in his grace, because he said, when I am weak, then am I strong, praise the Lord, in Christ. You see, so there's nothing that can't come on you in this life that God can't give you grace and power and strength to overcome in Jesus' name and help you get on getting on with God's business, praise the Lord. Now, another area that I deal with is my worries. Now, we people are worry warts. You know, we tend to worry about everything. Do you know the Bible says not to worry about anything? You know, Jesus said, why are you worrying? Is it going to solve anything? Is it going to cause you to grow any more hair? Is it going to cause you to get any, going to grow any higher because you worry? You know, no, worrying doesn't solve anything. As a matter of fact, worrying is like allowing stress to take over. And I don't know about you, but Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You see, and so we've got to learn how to cast all of our cares in prayer upon him. You know, in Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. I quote that all the time in my prayer time. See, I want the Lord carrying me. Yeah, I'm all over that story about the walk of the man in the sand, you know, with the one footprints. Yeah, Lord, carry me, Jesus. Amen. You see, I need his grace. And what is that? That's humility. God resists the prideful, but gives grace to the humble, you see. So when you humble yourself in prayer and say, Lord, take all these problems, help me deal with all these issues and things in my life, God's going to give you grace, and he's going to give you the ability to deal with it. Amen. And so you don't have to worry about stuff. What are you going to eat? Where are you going to sleep? How are you going to pay the rent? Hey, God's got your back. Praise the Lord. Just start praising the Lord. Watch his answer come to you. 6, wisdom. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:7 that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And so you got to have wisdom. And God's word says that we're to ask, and God will give us wisdom. You see, and so we need wisdom for both practical things in life, and we need wisdom for spiritual things. What does that mean? Well, the wisdom of God I'm talking about is giving you the ability to make the right decisions and the choices in your life by hearing God. You're coming to a fork in the road, and you're saying, man, I don't know which one. This one looks good, and that one looks good. How do you know? How do you get the answer? They both look equal. You pray and ask God to give you the wisdom, and he will speak to you and lead you and guide you. But ask in faith, nothing wavering. And say, Lord, I need your help in this situation. And he's going to give you the wisdom to come into you and guide you and make the right decision. How many have experienced that in your life? I have, praise the Lord, over and over again. That's why I keep praying every day for wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Fill me with your wisdom in everything I'm doing, God, and help me to discern the things of God in my life. And then let's look at point number 7, warfare. You know, when you pray, you can do spiritual warfare. But let's get this straight. This is not some, you know, physical war. You know, we get all worked up as Christians in some of the teachings and ideas that people have about spiritual warfare. The understanding that I have from the Bible is that I'm already more than a conqueror through him who loved me. The understanding that I have from the Bible is that I put on the whole armor of God and I'm victorious. The understanding that I have from the Bible is that I'm going forward, you see, and I'm the one on the offensive in Jesus' name. You see, and so when you put on the spiritual armor, the whole armor of God, you're saying, I'm taking my place in Jesus Christ, and I'm going forward. And the devil, you've had it in Jesus' name. I'm going forward, not backwards, in Jesus' name. You're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, you see. And you put on His whole armor so you can fight that good fight. Petra, praise the Lord. Amen. You see, and so I put on the whole armor of God. I take my position every day in Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't take it off before I go to sleep, but praise the Lord, I just remind myself that I've got it on every day. Amen. You see, and I put on that whole armor of God. And you need to learn how to put on the whole armor of God. Because if you don't pray, you'll become prey. If you don't pray, you'll become prey. You see, and what is it? When you pray and take on the whole armor of God, you're taking your stand in Jesus Christ and confessing your identity of who you are in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And Romans 8 and 37 is that verse right there. And so you've got to take your stand. And it's okay to rebuke the devil when you're praying. Do you realize that? I mean, you know, the Bible says, as we just read, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You don't ask the devil to leave. You command him to leave out of your life. And that's where I'm going with this. See, when the Bible says that we've been given authority to speak to mountains in faith and see them be removed, I do that all the time in my own prayer life. You know, I can't see what the devil's trying to throw at me. But I'll tell you what, he knows what's coming out of me against him. Yeah. You see, because the Bible says, as I pray in faith and speak to those mountains, they're being removed out of my life. Praise the Lord. You see? And so what am I trying to say? Make it real, preacher. I'm trying to say is that you've got to release faith in against the mountains and opposition and things of in your life. Sometimes you know what they are, and you just speak to those mountains and you say, financial mountain, out of my way in Jesus' name. God's provision come in Jesus' name. You know, sickness or disease coming your way? No, 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 no. By His stripes, I'm healed. You've got to go in Jesus' name. I'll never forget when I had this lump growing on the back of my shoulder back here in Dominican Republic, and it got bigger and bigger and painful and more painful. And I was looking, this thing was growing for a couple years there or so, and I'm looking at it in the mirror, and I heard the Holy Ghost speak to me and said, didn't I say in my word you could speak to mountains and they'd be removed? How much faith is it going to take, Nick, for you to speak to that little thing growing on you and have it removed? And I said, okay. Oh, I get it. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to get off from my back, you lump. I curse you. You wither and die in Jesus' name and be removed off from my body. And in the natural, nothing happened. I said, well, praise the Lord, I'm healed. But about 2 weeks later, as I'm in the shower, praise the Lord, suddenly, man, something smells bad. Oh, that's horrible. Oh, my gosh, this thing has exploded. Glory be to God. Amen. See, when Jesus spoke to that tree, you know, I mean, all of a sudden they came back the next day, it withered and died. See, you've got to release your faith in your prayer time, amen, against all the mountains that are in your life, amen, the negative things that you know are not the will of God in your life, and watch God move those mountains out of your way, amen. You see? And so learn how to do a fight a good warfare there and pray. Now, number 8, the Word of God. The Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Joshua 1 and 8 and 9 says, don't let it depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it. And how does the Word of God, now this confused me as a young Christian, how does the Word of God not depart from your mouth? Well, I thought when I read that as a Christian, it meant, you shall not speak the Word of God. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And I'm thinking, wow, that's, I don't know, I don't understand. I guess I'm not so supposed to speak it or something, you know. And then I figured it out. Well, finally, anybody ever have one of them times a light bulb goes on? Amen. Well, finally the light bulb went on. And I said, oh, I get it. This book of the law, this word shall not depart out of my mouth. How does it not depart? By speaking it constantly so it's always in there. Get a hold of that, praise God. You see, speak the word of God, mutter the word of God, declare the word of God. You've got to get radical about confessing the word of God. You see, I confess the word of God all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And in my prayer time, that's your prime time. Everyone say prime time. That's your prime time, man, to be confessing what the Word of God says, because the Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I'm not mad, I'm glad. I'm telling you, this works. But you've got to get a hold of it, and you've got to take it for yourself and speak it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. And if you'll praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, you've got to build this word in you. I mean, read the One Year Bible, oneyearbible.com, www.oneyearbible.com. I mean, read the Word of God through cover to cover. If you can't, please start with the New Testament. Make a commitment to read the Word of God every day. Amen. Oh, glory to God. You know, you've got to rinse out, cleanse the washing of the water through the Word. Amen. Only you can do that. But in your prayer time, learn to pray the Word of God out. Amen. And then in your prayer time, I pray for my works. Number 9. Now, Jesus said in Mark 13 and 34 that when the Lord goes back to heaven, He leaves His servants and to everyone their work. Everyone say their work.
Their work.
Their work. See, you have a work to do for Jesus Christ while you're on planet Earth. He's going to show you what it is. And if you don't know, you please call the church and see me and Pastor Ingris, and we will recruit you and put you to work. I guarantee, I double dog dare you. Okay, if you don't know what to do, I will find something for you to do. Okay? There's plenty of work to do around here, okay? And so, but in prayer, I pray about my works. And you want to pray about your works. Why? Well, your work for God's important. Not what you do on this planet's important. Jesus said in John 17 and 4, Father, I've glorified you on the earth. I finished the work that you gave me to do. When I get to heaven, I want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things that I gave you to do. Behold, I'm going to make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't want to get there and hear Him say, well, you're done. You know? No, I want to hear Him say, well done. And the way I'm going to hear Him say that well done is if I'm seeking Him and inquiring Him and beating a path to Him every day and praying, saying, Lord, You're going to have to direct me in Your work, Lord, so I can fulfill it in Jesus' name. You know, I don't want to settle for second best in my life. I don't want to settle for the acceptable will of God. Oh, this will get really hot in here. I mean, the perfect will of God, the acceptable will of God. I mean, some people just out of the will of God. You know, Jonah was out of the will of God. God said, go to Nineveh. He says, I ain't going. I mean, he went the other direction, you see. And then sometimes we just kind of coast along in our Christian life. You know, I'm in church, but I don't know, you know. And, you know, you're there. It's acceptable. Praise the Lord. But, you know, when I'm talking about the perfect will of God, what I'm talking about is you hitting the bullseye for God's purpose in your life. I'm not saying sinless perfection, you see. I'm talking about getting in the middle of His plan and purpose and using the gift, call, and ability in your life to its maximum potential in Jesus Christ and making an impact on this world for Christ. Praise the Lord. Your works are eternal. Your works will be judged. Jesus said in John 15 and 8, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified that you produce much fruit that remains. fruit that remains. What's that mean? It means that the character change in your life is a true transformation that's bringing forth the fruit of Christ in your own life, and you're influencing other people to Christ and helping build His church. Amen. See, you're being a productive citizen of the kingdom of God. You see, and so I pray over my works. I go through everything that I'm involved in, and I lift it up before God. In Jesus' name, I pray for Team Grace Outreach, Lord. I pray for Inside America Foundation, Lord. I pray in the name for Impact Bible Institute. God, I pray for Grace Christian Church. I pray for Taza de Vida. Lord, I'm praying for every area of ministry that I'm involved in, oh God. In Jesus, and I want God involved in what I'm doing. I'm saying, Lord, You make it grow, make it fruitful. If it's not from You, Lord, help me to understand it, prune it out. Amen. I mean, you got to get, what I'm talking about is getting serious about God's plan and purpose for your life. Hey, do I look depressed? I am not depressed. I am happy, and I am loving my life. I'm loving my job. I'm loving this church. I'm loving what I'm doing. And I know I'm in the middle of God's will for my life. Praise the Lord. You know, and I'm a happy Christian. Praise the Lord. And when I go to heaven, I'm going up happy. Praise God. Amen. You see, because I'm in God's will, I'm serious about His work. I'm giving myself to His work, and no matter if you're called full time somewhere or you're not, and we're all called full time to serve the Lord wherever you're at. Amen. Amen. You see, and so pray for all your works, and then also 10, your wonders. What Jeremiah 33:3? Call on Me, I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. How can God do His part if you don't do your part? Call on Me. Call on Me, and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. Explain that, preacher. Thank you. I sure will. Amen. What this means right here is that there is a place for the supernatural in your life as a Christian. You see, God's a supernatural God. And I always remember that when I'm praying, because I can pray my heart out and pray in faith and do my prayer list and do all the, but then I stand back, Lord, I'm doing everything I know how to do, God. Now I'm asking You, God, to get involved and do what I can't do, God. Come and get involved in my life and ministry, oh God. Show up, God, in power, I pray, amen. You see, I'm looking for the power of God to flow in my life and ministry. I need God to show up. I can't get anybody saved. I can't make a disciple out of anybody. I can't cast no devils out of anybody. But He can, praise God. And I need Him. Do you need Him in your workplace? Do you need Him in your family? I mean, I need God to show up in my life. So I release my faith for His power and His intervention to come. Lord, Father, any way You want to show up today in Nick Bork's life is okay with me, God. Intervene, God. Psalm 91. Hallelujah. You see, amen. And believe God for His wonders, the work of faith with power. Now, 11. I'm serious about that. I'm serious about the power of God. I mean, I've experienced the power of God. You probably have too. I mean, how many want more? I mean, I want more of God showing up in my life in power. More miracles, more healings, more deliverances, more salvations. I want more of the work of God. And the only way you get that is for Him to increase and for me to decrease. And the only way for that to happen is pray a lot. Praise the Lord. Seek God. Amen. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. And then when you get yourself out of the way, then God will move in your own life. Amen. You see, so 11, well-being. Well-being. You know, God wants to bless you, heal you, and prosper you. And I have no apology about saying that. Amen. Yeah. You see, I mean, there's too much in the Word of God right here where the Lord is on your side for to bless you. And that, when I talk about wealth, I'm not talking about, you know, comparing it, because all of a sudden, what is wealth? A million? Is it 100,000? Is it 50 grand? What is wealth? For me, wealth is having more than I need, praise God, to take care of everything God's called me to do and bless somebody else, praise the Lord. You know, for me to have wealth, and I believe God wants everybody wealthy, okay? I am not an extremist on this in the sense of saying, well, I have to drive a Mercedes for the 2011 to in order to be at this level of wealth and prosperity in my life. Hey, if somebody wants to bless me with one, I'll drive it, praise God. You know, but you know what? Wealth for me is having all my needs met and having an abundance to meet other people's needs too and be a blessing, never having to think twice about money to pay my bills. Can you say amen? You see, and the Lord wants to bring you that. And I believe every Christian there, okay? Because God's not glorified by poverty. There's nothing in the book where it says God's glorified by poverty. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the Old Testament, poverty was a curse. Let's think about that and apply those kind of principles to the American scene. You know, how come we owe money to other countries? Oh, no, let me get off from that wagon quick, praise the Lord. You see, I can go that way and preach, go chase that rabbit, but I'm not going to right now because I'm going to focus on the message, amen. And I want to pray for you, praise the Lord. You see, but well-being, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, amen, crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, praise the Lord. God's for me. God is. Do you got that understanding of God your Father? God is for you, not against you. And he wants your well-being. I mean, the scripture there says it's God that gives you power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8 and 18. Power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant in the earth. Psalm 30, 35 and 12. And the Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. How many is a servant of the Lord here today? I am. God says, I have pleasure in you and the prosperity of your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. And healing. By his stripes we're healed. We're not under the curse of the law no more. And blessed am I coming in and blessed am I going out. And I live under a better covenant. If God could bless all them people back there with his best, he's got something better for me and you. Amen. You see, so I'm not going to cut myself short or short sell the blessing of God in my life. Praise the Lord. Amen. So believe God in your prayer. Say, Lord, I thank you, God, for meeting all my needs. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread and a whole lot more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Pray for the church too. Amen. Pray for the claim. Are you, if you're a tither, you can pray, claim them scriptures on tithing. I do all the time because I am a tither. And my God blesses me a lot because I'm a tither. Amen. I'm a tither, praise the Lord. And I'm blessed. And when God lays a blessing on me, I don't care if I'm standing in the line in Walmart, Myers. Let's be fair, Myers. What is the other? Any other big box store? I don't care where you're at. I say, well, praise the Lord, I'm a tither. Amen. You see, I don't care, man. I'm going to lay some glory on my God. Some of you say, not me. That's just too radical. Not me. Praise the Lord. I'm sold out for Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll confess him no matter where I'm at in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, so God's for your well-being. And then 12, witness. You know, I have found that if I'll stay consistent in a prayer time with God and I'll spend time with him as much as I can. Now, get me right here. There's some days when I don't pray the way I really wish I could. There's some days when I really miss it and I feel like, man, I should need to spend more time with God in prayer. But I want to encourage you to make a commitment to pray and learn how to develop prayer as part of your daily life in a greater way. And some of you got some things in your life that are keeping you from that. And I want to help you with that here tonight. But before we get there, witness. You know, Jesus said your whole life is supposed to be a witness. Amen. I love what one preacher said. Go preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. You see, I mean, your whole life, your attitude, your words, everything about you is a message. And it's either saying Jesus is Lord of my life or I temporarily forgot, you know. And so we want to glorify God in our lives wherever we're at and be a witness for Jesus Christ. And that means a verbal witness, talking to people about the Lord. Man, I take my Grace Christian, my grace cards with me everywhere I go, pick up, and I invite people to church. Hey, did you get one of these yet? And they're, huh? What's that? Oh, yeah, gourmet coffee right over here. See, I invite people to church everywhere I go, praise the Lord, talk to people about this church. I love this church. I love Jesus. And I just tell them about the Lord, and I invite people, and I talk, confess Christ. Christ is my Savior. It's amazing what you can do in a short, you can sow a seed so quick, friends, if you can just, hey, I got a confession to make. What? Confession? Oh, obviously, everyone thinks you're confessing sin. I double dog dare you to try this to somebody you're talking to. I mean, just be nice to people. It's amazing if you're nice to people, you know. I mean, people just open up. If you're friendly and kind, don't say,
Have you heard the four spiritual laws? You know, I mean, they're like, oh, he's part of a cult. I mean, just be real. Hey, how are you today? Hey, I got a confession to make. Huh? What? I'm not a priest. Don't confess to me. Yeah, my confession is this. Jesus is my Savior, and He wants to be your Savior too. You see? And that's like, oh, wow. I invite you to my church, Grace Christian Church. Oh, that church? It's amazing how many people say, oh, that church? No. See, we already got a good name out there, praise the Lord. Build on it. Capitalize it. Use leverage. Tell people about Grace Christian Church and the good God that's over here at Grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then also, so you want to be a witness for the Lord. And so all these are different areas that you pray. I pray over all the time, and I go through this whole thing. And it's amazing how much time you can spend with God just meditating on these things and praying over these things. You know, if this works for you, well. If it doesn't, I mean, make a paper airplane out of it or something. I don't care. You know, but the point is this. The point is this. Learn how to pray. Find what works for you. And don't be satisfied with a defeated prayer life. You see, and if you're going to grow into what God wants you to be, you're going to learn how to pray. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so the way I want to wrap this up is this, and I've been wanting to do this for like forever, okay, and that's this. I want to pray for people that have got a hang up with prayer. And what I mean is this. Man, you're like defeated, and you're like wishing you could somehow get a breakthrough in your life spiritually. It just seems like no matter how hard you try, it just seems like you slide back down into the same thing all the time, okay? And you just can't seem to break out, and you're kind of stuck somehow. You know, I've been there. I've done that, okay? And I want to tell you, God wants to set you free tonight. God wants to absolutely burn up whatever is hindering you in your life, okay? Now, it takes work on your part to develop a relationship with God, but also he puts some preachers and ministers around to help you get breakthrough in your life, okay? So tonight, I want to pray for you and pray for all of us that the Lord would help us grow in our prayer time. And then, as I pray, those that want prayer, I want you to come forward, amen. And if you got to go when I'm done praying, God's peace and blessings go with you richly. Brother, be kind and friendly and love one another. Amen. But, I mean, that's good advice. Amen. I mean, but those that, oh, if you want to get saved, call on Jesus. He'll save you, okay? All right? But, I mean, that's what the Bible says. It's that simple. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I mean, Jesus, save me. You see, that's what it's going to take for you to be saved, okay? But tonight, I want to pray for those that are wanting a breakthrough in their life and to go to another level in God in prayer, okay? I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you, and our pastoral care team also to pray for you. So as I pray, as you feel led, you come. And the rest, when I'm done praying, if you want to hang around, you can. If you don't, slip out quietly. And let's respect God. Let God meet you here. And let God do a work in your life tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for our time together here, Lord. Father, I thank you. I humbly thank you for your word, O God, here today. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you have opened up the way for us to pray. You've opened up the way for us to enter in, God, to your holy presence, O Lord. Father, you've opened up the way for all of us to have breakthrough. And Lord, for every brother and sister here, O God, who seems stuck, something hindering them, O God, Father, I speak deliverance and release in Jesus' name. Father, and breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed, Lord, for the remission of all of our sins and freedom. Lord, so that we could enter into your holy, loving, godly, glorious presence and know that we're going to heaven. Lord, I pray for a release of the power of God to flow in the area of prayer. That, Lord, brothers and sisters here tonight would come to this altar and lay down anything that they're carrying, any burden, and just bring it to you, Lord, and humble themselves and say, Lord, here am I, help me. Lord, here am I, minister to me. Lord, here am I, touch me. Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Do whatever needs to be done, God, in my life. I'm laying it all before you here tonight. And so come in Jesus' name. Come and let the Lord minister his blessing, his strength, his peace, his presence, his power, his breakthrough, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this wonderful congregation. Thank you, Lord. Pour out your Spirit according to your promise here right now on all flesh in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, move in this room in power right now. I loose the power of God in faith in Jesus' name. I speak to every mountain of opposition and every life represented here. Be removed in Jesus' name. And we take authority in the name of Jesus, and we declare your word. He who the Son
is set free is free indeed in Jesus' name. Break every chain, O God, and pour out your Spirit upon every person here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's you. Now, if you want that prayer, you come forward, line up right here, and I need the pastoral care team and all the people that are going to help us pray here. Just be with me, and I'm going to go through here. And if you got to go, you go. But if you got to stick, if you want to stick around, you stick around and just keep praying for these for breakthrough in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.